what's up, everybody? How you doing tonight, drinkers, drunkies, winos, you fucking hobos? Episode number 136. How the hell's your week going? How the hell was your weekend? I gotta say, man, I'm kind of in a weird mood tonight, to be honest with you. I got some shocking news. Somebody I've looked up to, admired for a long time, passed away the other day. And really kind of sad. I don't know if he was a big drinker, but I'm having these drinks in his honor. Cheers, Riley. Lead vocalist of Power Trip, like I said, passed away the other day. Just odd fucking news, man. I keep going back and forth. I'm like, all right, it's real. And then I go back and I'm like, no, it can't be fucking real, man. But instead of getting depressed and being sad about it, because I don't want to make all my listeners fucking depressed and sad, I'm actually going to tell a couple of stories just from knowing the guy. One of the greatest dudes, man. Mr. Dallas Hardcore himself, slash thrash metal later on with his band Power Trip. One of the greatest fucking... I think I've actually talked about Power Trip several times on this podcast. And, dude, if there were ever a front man to pick for your band, that guy was fucking it, dude. Always a great show going to see him. Played in bands like Balls Out, a Dallas band, obviously. Power Trip just fucking blew up. And, one thing I really loved about Riley was he was never too big. He was never too busy to talk to you. I remember one time when Power Trip's first 7-inch came out, Armageddon Blues. I was new to getting records. You know, I had some records, some older records. My dad had left me, things like that. And, you know, a regular sized record, it just has the tiny little, the point, you know, for the center of the record player to go through. And then it spins the record with that. I remember I get this 7-inch from Power Trip. And my dumb ass gets pissed off. I'm like, what the fuck? On a 7-inch, the gap is way, way bigger. Like it's a giant fight, like a donut. Like a, you know, where they'd punch out the donut hole in a donut. So it's this giant gap. I have this record player and I'm like, I kind of get pissed. I'm like, what the fuck? I can't even play this thing now. I really wanted to listen to it. So I get online, I get on Facebook and I'm like, what the fuck? I just got this Power Trip record and I can't even play the fucking thing, you know, just being a typical ass. No, not you, Chris. You weren't being an ass, were you? And then a few minutes later, who messages me? Riley. And he's like, hey man, what's going on? What's the problem? What's the deal? You know, I saw that you're having trouble with the record. I'm like, well, the part for the center of the record player to go through is, you know, the record's too big. And he kind of laughs and he's like, no, bro, there's like an adapter. You know, you got to get the adapter to fit the 7-inch. And I'm like, oh, fuck. So I start looking around on my record player. And sure enough, there's a fucking adapter there. So you can listen to any size record. Not all 7-inches are that way, but I think a lot of them are. A lot more than not. So I feel like a fucking idiot. We have a good laugh about it. And that's just kind of... to paint a picture in your mind, the kind of guy, and Power Trip, by the way, at the time was fucking blowing up, dude, getting fucking huge. Like the crazy thing is when I was playing in my band Out to Sea, when we started that band around 2008, maybe late 2007, but, 2008, around that time, same time Power Trip got started. And, you know, we played shows together almost religiously, man. It was like if there was a show coming through Dallas, we were on it and Power Trip was on it. And obviously my band fizzled out. You know, people moved away and things like that. And Power Trip just kept going and kept getting fucking bigger. And dude, I loved everything they put out. And that's just the kind of guy he was. No matter how big his band got or, you know, anything that happened, dude, he always had fucking time to you. He always talked to you like you were a friend. And... you know, like I said earlier, Mr. Dallas Hardcore himself, I remember the first time I saw Power Trip, I was like, I want to write music like that. You know, like the music I was writing was, you know, it was all right. It was decent. But I saw Power Trip and they fucking blew me away. The energy, the fucking stage presence was just unfucking believable. I'm like, how do I get to that level? And not only that, but, you know, he had a whole thing he was doing just for the Dallas hardcore scene, just for Dallas music in general, like a following going that I just admired and respected from day one, ever since I knew him and met him and met the band, you know, when Marcus used to play drums for him and everything. And, you know, cheers to that guy, man. That's some crazy fucking news. But like I said, I'm not going to be depressed about it. I'm not going to be sad. I'm tired of being sad for family members that die, for friends, you know, passing away. Like, I can't just keep being sad. I have to remember the good shit. You know, life has a way of just fucking kicking you in the balls over and over until you figure out I need to wear a fucking cup. You know what I mean? So, you know, I remember working at a gas station too. Just another quick story before I move on to NHL hockey. I remember I was working at a gas station, and just out of nowhere, I'd been working there for 6 months, you know, somewhere in that time. Just out of nowhere, Riley comes walking in. I'm like, oh, what's up, Riley? Hey, man, how you doing? He's like, oh, dude, I hadn't seen you in a long time. We start talking, and, you know, this guy's my friend. I want to hook him up. I'm working behind the counter. And I'm like, hey, man, let me give you some soda for free. Let me give you whatever you want, you know, for free. You want a bag of chips? I'll give you a bag of chips. Dude would never let me give him anything. He just wouldn't take it. He's like, nah, man, I'll pay for it. It's not a big deal. And I'm like, no, dude, I want to give it to you. Because God knows this company is fucking me out of hours. You know, those shady fucking people at gas stations. I can't remember how many times I worked at that gas station. I was calling HR like, no, I didn't work this many hours. I'm very meticulous with my hours. I would take a picture of my time card every fucking week. Every Friday, I would take a picture of my time card. I had a little app I would add up my hours on. Because, you know, they try to scam you. You know? They always try to scam you with that, you know, 0.15. You got 6.15 hours bullshit. There's something weird about that. You know, it feels like a scam. Like, every 0.1 is not technically a minute. It's actually like fucking 30 seconds or some weird shit like that. So they're actually getting more time out of you somehow. No, it all evens out. But Jesus Christ, the amount of times I had to call HR and fix my fucking check because they didn't give me overtime that I earned, or they didn't give me all the hours I earned. I'm like, yeah, I'll give you a fucking bag of chips. And I don't feel bad for saying that. You know? You want to fucking rip me off, I'm going to rip you off. For my friend's sake. But dude would never fucking take it, man. He would never would. It didn't feel right with him. Didn't sit right with him. But I'm going to stop talking about it. That's all I wanted to say. I'm going to miss going to the shows, you know, not even Power Trip shows. I'm just going to miss going to random punk and hardcore shows and not seeing him there. He was huge in the fucking scene, and I don't know who could fill his shoes, if anybody. And, it's just fucking sad, man. But, you know, I'm really going to miss it. Really going to miss the whole vibe he brought and everything. Cheers though. Cheers anyway. Moving on to NHL. Has it really been that long since I've talked? Has it really gotten out of the first round since we've talked last week? The hated fucking St. Louis Blues sent packing by the Vancouver Canucks. Thank you, Canucks. You were on the shit list with me. Or at least you were. You know, I remember when you guys had Taylor Pyatt and we still had Mike Modano. We moved to those black jerseys that just said Dallas on the front and you knocked us out of the fucking playoffs, which I considered, you know, a lot of dirty play in that series on your end. But it is what it is. You guys didn't win the cup. You've actually never won a cup. I'm not rubbing it in. I'm just painting a picture. I've kind of had, you know, this thing with Vancouver since then. You know, and other teams have knocked us out of the playoffs. I guess it's just the way that it happened with Vancouver. It really rubbed me the wrong way. And I'm kind of over it now. Now that you guys knocked St. Louis out of the fucking playoffs, which nobody saw coming. defending Stanley Cup champs, hard to see that coming. But that's also the thing about being the champs, right? Is you, everybody starts studying you. People start getting the book on you. It's like the best comparison is like Dak Prescott in his first season with the Dallas Cowboys. He came out, what did he go, 13-2? Or some shit like that, 13-1? I don't remember how many games he played versus, you know, when Tony Romo got hurt and when he stepped in. But it was a winning record for sure. He was not in double digits for losses. But it's like the same thing, you know? He comes out, he's fucking hot. Nobody knows who this guy is. He's fucking throwing touchdown passes. He's fucking scrambling. Nobody knows what to do with this guy. He has an amazing season. We're so fucking close to making it to the next round in the playoffs. It just doesn't happen for us. But I think actually Romo wasn't hurt anymore at the end of the season. And we're just like, no, we're going to stick with Dak. We're going to stick with what's hot. We're going to stay. Everybody had the book on Romo. You know, they don't have the book on Dak, and it actually really worked to our advantage. But that's what I equate it to. The St. Louis Blues, now that they're done, they're out, is, you know, you had a great year. You won the cup. Congratulations on that, even though I hate you. I don't hate them. It's just, you know, they fucking knocked my stars out, and I don't like them fucking running the goaltender. You know, fucking Bennington hacking Bishop. I'm never going to let that shit go, ever. I don't care if the Blues win the next 50 Stanley Cups or they never win one for another 100 years. I'm not going to let that shit go. Yeah, coming off the ice when play is over, you know, the end of the period, and you hack Ben Bishop on the fucking arm, fuck you, man. Bennington doing shady shit too. And I know it happens on every fucking team. Look at what happened to Pavelski the other night. He fucking speared, what's his name? I don't remember his Nathan McKinnon. Real quick side note, how much are NBCSN gonna suck Nathan McKinnon's dick, dude? Good God. Like, I respect the guy. I know he's a great player, but Jesus fucking Christ. You would think he's the only goddamn player on the ice. You know, it's like they're doing specials on this guy. They can't get, every time he's on the ice, they have to say his name at least once. You know? I'm not saying he's a bad player. That's not the point of what I'm saying. Definitely not a bad player. He's a great fucking player, but Jesus, man. I honestly think here's the problem. The announcers, that's the only hockey player's name they actually fucking know, you know? It's an American name. You know, we know that Nathan, I got that. Nathan, we're good with that. McKinnon, that's American enough. We can stick with Nathan McKinnon. Everything is fucking Nathan McKinnon. Actually, the Stars are playing tonight. I believe 8:45, 9:45, I don't remember the start time. I'm probably going to tune in at 8:45 because every time I think it's 9:45, I'm like, oh, it's the fucking third period. I missed all the game. In 34 years, I still haven't got down like Pacific time. Don't you love it when people say that? Specific for Pacific or the other way around? It's the Pacific Ocean. How Pacific are you going to be? You know? Anyways... So I got to tune in at 8:45, but good Lord, man. It's just fucking unbearable. Tonight, I think what I'm going to do, I believe the broadcast is probably going to be on NBCSN again, and I'm just going to put that on mute, and I'm going to turn on my guys, Ralph and fucking Josh. At least my guys are fucking even. If we fuck up, you know, we slash somebody, they're not going to go, oh, well, they give a million reasons why it shouldn't have been called. They call it like it is, and I appreciate that. It's a little biased. You're going to be being a Dallas Stars announcer, but it's as close to being unbiased as possible. If we fuck up, they'll call it out. If the other team fucks up, they'll call it out too. You know, I've heard Razor say several times, I'm surprised that wasn't a penalty and it was on us. Fucking NBCSN, dude. Good Lord. What a fucking hard-on. And the memes are fucking great online. They're showing fucking Randy in front of the computer with fucking jizz everywhere. And he has NBCSN on his shirt. And on the screen is Nathan McKinnon's face. If you've ever watched South Park, you probably know that scene. It's fucking hilarious, dude. I mean, that's exactly what it is. It's just like, and after one, Nathan McKinnon leads Nathan McKinnon by a score of Nathan McKinnon to Nathan McKinnon. You know, it's just fucking ridiculous. It's kind of a running joke on Twitter at this point. I think even Avs fans, you gotta admit, you know, you gotta admit, it's a little over the fucking top. Just shut the, there's more fucking, like, we have a 19-year-old fucking player who is doing amazing, and they rarely ever mention that guy. We have a goaltender, I'm not even gonna say it because I don't want to jinx it, I'm not going there, but we have a goaltender playing very well, and they've barely fucking mentioned his name, you know, in lieu of Ben Bishop, playing very, very well as, you know, sort of the backup keeper, but not really. They were kind of splitting the workload 50-50. Not even, barely mentioning it. It's fucking nuts, dude. Pavelski had an awesome playoff so far. And to go back to Vancouver, man, just tied the series with Vegas Golden Knights. Dude, they got some defense, and they're actually scoring some fucking goals. They look a little scary, to be honest with you. Honestly, the way Vegas has been playing, dude, I would have thought by now, just in the first two rounds of the playoffs, they've scored like 50 or 60 goals. They click, dude. They got a great fucking team over there in Vegas. And I love watching them. Dude, I love the fucking, are they the away jerseys? The white jerseys with the white gloves and the gold trim? Dude, how fucking sick are those? Dude. You want to talk about it, and I wasn't a huge, like, when they came out with, you know, the Vegas Golden Knights, I was like, all right, that's kind of weak, but the uniforms, dude, I fucking love them, especially the white unis. Jesus Christ, those are fucking cool, man. But yeah, like I said, Vancouver just tied the series last night with Vegas, and that was pretty shocking. Bye-bye, Blues. My Stars are up 2-0 in the series on Colorado, and so many fucking salty Colorado fans. And don't get me wrong, dude, I love Colorado. Even with the Dallas-Colorado rivalry from back in the day, I've always... Yeah, how do you not respect and love Joe Sakic? How do you not respect and love Peter Forsberg? How do you not love and respect Patrick Waugh? Jesus Christ, man. Adam Foote? I remember all those fucking guys. Because they gave us hell every fucking year. But, dude, just the saltiness of the fans, which I will say, if you watched the game the other night, the Lindell breakaway goal, it was definitely questionable how the ref even saw that to call it a good goal. But also, nobody tweeting about it was on the ice. And also, and this happens in football all the fucking time, they actually get the right call on the field. And then, you know, and everybody's like, how the fuck did he call that? And he couldn't even really see. And then you go back in the replay, it's like, oh, well, it's the right fucking call. Same thing. I don't know how the ref came to the conclusion that it was in, because he was at a weird angle to call it a good goal. All I can figure is that he went off of our celebration and Colorado's disappointment that they just got scored on for the, what was it, a fourth time in a row unanswered at that point in the game. They just kind of went off of body language. Lindell celebrated, and the Colorado D-man just, like, put his head down. Was like, fuck, you know? And also, on top of that, I'm assuming the ref couldn't see that. He could clearly see that the goalie couldn't grab the puck with his feet because he was all sprawled out. You know, what are the chances that he could stop a goal with his leg with someone whacking on the doorstep? And I don't want to hear it from Colorado fans. Like I say, I'm only giving you shit because of all the shit I've seen talked online about it. I do love Colorado. I think you have a great team. I do love Nathan McKinnon. He's very Nathan McKinnon-y, you know? But the refs, dude, the Colorado fans, and this always fucking happens. Every goddamn sport. Doesn't matter. Across the fucking board, this always happens. You lose a game. Who's the first person you blame? It's not the coach. It's not your star player, Nathan McKinnon. It is the fucking refs, you know? And I gotta be honest with you. I agree there were some missed calls, but I have to say there were missed calls on both sides. And I haven't seen anyone bring this up online. What about the fucking holding the stick calls? There was one on Sagan and one on another player of ours. Your guys are literally holding our fucking sticks in the first period. And it's like where the play is at. It's not off to the side. The guy's fighting to get the puck and you're holding the stick and nobody calls shit. You know? And I will admit, I am a homer. I am a Dallas Stars fan. But the spearing that Pavs did on Nathan MacKinnon, you know, it was, I can't even say his name with a straight face anymore. It was, you know, I don't want my players doing that. That's for sure. That was kind of ugly. That was pretty ugly. You know, he wasn't trying to fucking end his career or anything, but, you know, I don't like the spearing, but I also don't like your fucking 220-pound D-man sitting on fucking Pavelski's neck in the first period either. That was fucking ridiculous. I was like, is this goddamn UFC? I totally get pinning your guy up against the board and taking them out of the play, but good God, dude. I mean, even Pavelski, his face is fucking red. He's looking over at the ref like, this motherfucking ape is sitting on my neck. Call something. You know, so for blaming the refs, I don't think so, man. The power plays were 8-3. You guys had 8 fucking power plays, including a 5-on-3, just like we had when we tied up the game, to win the fucking game, and you didn't. You know, so I don't want to hear it about the refs. The refs called, 3 or 4 penalties on us in the first fucking period? I want to say rant over, but I feel like it's going to come up again. You know what I mean? Let's take another drink. Cheers, everybody. Hey, cheers, Colorado fans. I get it. I've been there before, too, and the series ain't fucking over either. I'm not celebrating by any fucking means. It's not over till it's fucking over. But cheers, Colorado fans. Cheers, Dallas Stars fans. And cheers, fucking Vancouver fans. Keep that shit going, man. You're shocking a lot of people. I guess that's all I have with the hockey. Baseball, not a lot of news as far as as far as my Texas Rangers go. They're getting like 1 out of every 10 games won. That came off confusing. They're winning 1 out of every 10 games, so they're not doing too hot. The fucking Astros are struggling. Everybody's laughing at that shit. White Sox pitcher actually pitched a no-hitter last night. I don't know the guy's name, but that's fucking incredible. That's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And, dude, the play, I don't know if you guys have seen it, but the play, the very last pitch of the game where they got the batter out to end the game to give him the no-hitter, dude, that was scary. If I was pitching a no-hitter and that guy cracked that ball like that, I would have been shitting my fucking pants because he hit it hard and he hit it in an awkward position, but the outfielder still came up with it and saved the fucking no-hitter. Thank God for that guy, you know. But other than that, I don't really know much about what's going on with basketball. Are they in the playoffs? Is that what they're doing, or are they resuming the regular season? It seems like we're playing the Clippers a lot, so I'm assuming it's the playoffs, and apparently Luka Doncic is just fucking killing it, you know? I need to watch more basketball. There's just a lot more things going on that I want to watch, baseball being one of those, hockey playoffs being one of those, and it seems to always fall on the same nights or some shit like that. I really don't know. Let's take another drink. So last week we didn't do drink recommendations. Let me pull these up real quick. One that got sent to me, actually. Let me go ahead and read this one, and I'll find the other two for you. Thank you for sending this in, by the way. This has no name, but this is what you're going to need for it. 2 ounces Smirnoff Peach Vodka. 4 ounces. Oh, I didn't do the song. Ba 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 da ba ba da ba ba da. All right, you guys get it. 2 ounces Smirnoff Peach Vodka. 4 ounces of lemonade. 1 ounce simple syrup. Combine equal parts water and sugar. Boil until sugar is no longer visible. Cool. I usually do 1/4 cup of each and save the excess. That's how you make the simple syrup. And 1 fluid ounce of Kentucky bourbon whiskey. I'm assuming this doesn't really have directions to it. I'm assuming you pour all of the, you can probably pour everything over ice and shake it up in a strainer, shake it up and then strain over fresh ice, would be my recommendation on how to make that. There's nothing carbonated in there, so you don't have to worry about that. But yeah, Smirnoff peach vodka, lemonade, simple syrup, and Kentucky bourbon whiskey. That's the first one I have for you. Give me one sec. I don't want you guys sitting on hold while I'm fucking trying to pull these other two up. Give me one sec. All right, here we go. Finally got a list. One I haven't told you guys in a long time is the French 75. Not a huge gin fan. Shout out to Richie. I know you always give me shit every time I say that about gin. I actually like the one you recommended to me. This is the French 75. What you're going to need for it is 2 ounces London dry whiskey, 1 teaspoon super fine sugar. Super fine. What's super fine sugar? 1/2 ounce lemon juice, 5 ounces brut champagne. Brut champagne is the shit too, isn't it? Here's how the hell you make it. Shake gin, sugar, and lemon juice well with cracked ice and a chilled cocktail shaker. Strain into Collins glass half full of cracked ice. Top off with champagne so you don't lose that bubbly. That's the French 75. I don't even know if I can say this one. The Boulevarder? Boulevardier? Boulevardier? Here's what you're going to need for it. 1.5 ounces bourbon or rye whiskey. Oh my God, this fucking phone, I swear to God. 1.5 ounces bourbon or rye whiskey, 3/4 ounces Campari, 3/4 ounce sweet vermouth. Stir ingredients with ice in a mixing glass until chilled. Strain into a coupe glass. Garnish with an orange twist. That is the Boulevardier. Boulevardier. That sounds very French. Ave toi santé. Cheers, everybody. Don't drink and drive. Get an Uber. Get a Lyft. You know, for example, like I did the other night, you know, I went to the bar and I was having a couple of drinks. I was actually, have I said what I'm drinking tonight? I don't think I ever did. I'm drinking vodka with Topo Chico and a shot of lime in there. But I went to the bar the other night and I was having the same exact drink, except it was soda water, not Topo Chico. I guess just a different brand. And, you know, I'm just sitting there and I'm like, you know, maybe I should leave soon. I'm ordering my Lyft or my Uber. I don't remember which one it was. Did I do Uber or Lyft? I think I only use Uber. Ooh, I shouldn't say that, should I? You should get an Uber or a Lyft. I'll put it that way. But I'm sitting there drinking my drink. I'm ordering my ride to go home. And they start, you know, I'm like, should I leave now? Should I leave in 30 minutes? And they start playing Michelle Branch on the stereo. And I'm like, all right, this is definitely a way. What was the song they were playing? There's only like one Michelle Branch song. I was like, this is how you know the night's ended. You know, they start playing Michelle Branch and it's fucking over. You know, so I ordered my ride. I got an Uber home. I was safe about it. And you should do the same. Anyways, cheers, everybody. All right, guys, that's going to do it for me for the night. I'm going to leave you with a little bit of power trip tonight. We're gonna celebrate. We're not going to be sad, right? I hope you guys are safe out there. Let's drink until the last drop. I only got a little shot of this left. Cheers, everybody. And I'll talk to you next fucking week. Go Stars! Have a good week, guys. Bye!